Marco Serrano is a financial planner with Primerica, and for the last 6 years, he's been helping middle-income families plan for retirement and protecting themselves for their financial future in the event of a loss. Today, we're going to hear about what he can tell us in the hairdresser world, in the barbering and hairdresser world, what we need to know about retirement planning and preparing for, you know, protecting our financial futures. Welcome back to the Hairdresser Strong Show. My name is Robert Hughes, and I am your host. And today, I'm with Marcos Serrano. How are you doing today, Marcos?
Doing great, blessed. Can't complain, you know, working hard as always, out here on the field, helping out families.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, I want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, me as well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, just a little background. Marcos is going to be a panelist at the upcoming Beauty Business Brunch on May 19th, and he is going to be talking on what he has expertise in, and that would be retirement planning and protecting your financial future in the event of a loss. So, one, I want to say thank you for coming on and being a panelist as well. I'm really looking forward to that.
Also looking forward to it. Thank you for inviting me and having the opportunity to being able to educate and being able to present this information.
Yeah, you know, there, you know, our industry, I would consider our industry an underserved community when it comes to financial services. So for you to volunteer your time and for us to be able to come together so that way we can share some financial literacy or some financial education with the industry is really big deal. So let's dive right in. Well, let's first hear like why and how did you get into financial planning?
So it's a funny question because initially that wasn't even in my radar whatsoever. I wanted to study IT in school. And then initially it was just to get out of the restaurant industry. So my high school buddy recommended me this job, checked it out. And from there, I just fell in love with what I do, right? Which is education, first and foremost. Because especially in my community, when it comes to immigrants, there's a high demand for the kind of services that we provide here. Really, there's a lack of an awareness of financial literacy. So especially, I noted this when it came to my parents. I thought they had it all figured out. They had their retirement set in place, right? But came to turn out, they had none of that figured out. So really, that's what brought the passion within me to serve families is because of that. It's because I see so many people just like my parents who aren't prepared, right? And we're so good at working hard, but not how to have money working hard for us. So that's really what I'm passionate about is educating and informing families.
Amazing. Well, we couldn't be more excited to have you, someone who's passionate about teaching, especially on this topic. So tell us a little bit about, you know, I feel like people have an idea about what retirement planning is. Tell us a little bit about the other part that you do real quick. Tell us about like protecting financial future in the event of a loss. Tell us what that means and why it's important.
So as far as that is concerned, because there's two things in this lifetime that's going to happen. Yes or yes, slam dunk guaranteed. One, we're going to make it to retirement. Or two, we unfortunately pass away, right? And which two things are going to happen? We don't know. But at the very least, with what I do, we prepare for both things. So essentially, preparing for an event of a loss, right, through life insurance. So what life insurance does, it protects that income that that person was providing, right? And that makes sure that the final expenses are taken care of, and then making sure that income is there as if that person never left. And that's very vital, because especially when it comes to the surviving spouse, 80% of spouses lose their home within the first 12 months, right? Not having this sort of protection. So it's very, very serious. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so it's a very serious issue that we see. And over 158 million families don't have life insurance protection. So it's a very, very serious concern that we see nowadays. So some people that I sit down with tell me, well, what's the point of insurance? Why can't I just build my wealth instead, my savings? Well, year two, let's say you only had $2,000 and then you pass away. Well, $2,000 isn't going to do much for your family, right? So it's important to protect your finances, right? Protect your family financially in the meantime, while your growth is building, while your investments and savings are being built, right? So that's what the firm that I'm working for is focused on, making sure that in the event of a loss, your family's taken care of financially. And then on the long term, in the ideal scenario, when you do make it to retirement, you make it well and then not have to go back to work, right?
So, okay. So we're talking about life insurance, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So there's a bunch of different types of life insurance. I feel like we should have you back on the show to actually have a conversation about more about in depth about that. But the point here is, back up for a second. A lot of stylists, especially on social media, love to talk, and like coaches and stuff, love to talk about generational wealth. And how can someone build generational wealth if when they pass away, they don't have life insurance? Then you got to like dig into those assets that you were going to hand down to the next generation, and just to pay for your funeral or to settle your, if you had any debt or whatever, probate comes and they take away, they settle up, with whatever's left. And so anyway, I just want to kind of add my little two cents in there. Like, don't think you're going to build generational wealth if you don't have life insurance. Okay. Now let's go into retirement planning. So retirement planning, this is, I would say it's probably a more popular conversation than building generational wealth. I feel like generational wealth is like a weird flex for people. So like, I also think is a separate conversation, but like retirement is how I want to like live when I retire. Like what does retirement look like to me? Well, I'm about to be 40 in July. So, the big 4-0, and I hear that it's important to start saving and planning, putting money away for retirement, but like, I don't want to hear that because that 20 years, that's 20 years I've lost, of investing for my future. So what do you say to somebody in my position who is just going to get started now?
So what I would say to that person, just like yourself in your shoes, is just to start, right? Even though 20 years has gone by, that doesn't mean you can't do something about it now, right? And if you decide to throw the towel and not do anything about it, then you're just putting yourself in the worst case scenario, right? So my suggestion is just start now. Start now, take action, and that way you have something to show for it at the very end, right? Because you'd be surprised how much you can save up and how much you can have your money grow over time, right? Because for example, in your scenario, you still have a good 20 years left, right? Which is still
I hope I got more than that.
Yeah, definitely. Right. But if we're talking the typical retirement age, which is in their 60s, right? That's when people typically want to retire and not have to go back to work. That's still a good 20 plus years that you have left, for example. Right. So don't think of it as, oh man, I'm in my past, my prime. I'm in my 40s. I don't have time anymore. No, that's not the case. You'd be surprised at how much time you actually have. Right. And obviously, you got to take into consideration, well, what's my actual retirement age that I want to retire at, other factors. But in general, it's just a start, right? Something is better rather than nothing, right? That's what I
would say. So, when you're talking to somebody and asking them about, your work, they say they come to you. Yeah. Let's just use me for example. And it's like, hey, I want to do this retirement planning thing. What types of information do you want to collect it very early on to like help start figuring this out? Can you give me like a little like example question, walk through a little bit?
For example, one of the first things I would ask is, hey, at what age do you plan on retiring, right? So that's important to know. And then from there, I can have a gauge of the time frame that we have to be able to save and invest. And then based on that, I can take into consideration things like their handling on risk. Are they risk averse? Do they not mind some risk? Because when it comes to investing, there's always some degree of risk, right? And obviously, goals and aspirations they want to achieve, they want to do in the future, like if they want to travel, for example, or if they want their house to be completely paid off, things of those manners. So I take all those things into account. And then that's a good blueprint to being able to build their retirement plan, essentially.
Nice. So just to have a laugh, you ever hear anybody tell you like, I'm gonna retire at a really young age? Have you ever had an experience where someone tells you something that's not realistic, or is everyone pretty serious when they meet with you? Or maybe they're serious about, I don't know.
So, I mean, for the most part, they are pretty serious, but then there's some people they're like, well, the earlier the better, right? So yeah.
Anybody ever say like 48 or 50 or something like that?
I've had a couple who've said that, and I would actually take a look at that and say let's see what we can do, right? And if it's not realistic, then I'll show them the numbers, like, hey, this is not looking too good. If you're planning to retire with X amount, then you probably either need to put in a lot up front, or we're going to need a little bit more time.
Okay. So, and then what about, on the other end of the spectrum, do you ever hear anybody being like, I'm going to work until I die? Do you ever hear anybody say that? Or is everybody who comes to you, they're like, I want to eventually stop working 100%.
So no, I mean, especially in the Latino community, there's a lot of that, to be quite honest, because mainly not because of they want to work, but because they feel like they have to keep working. As far as that's concerned, I mean, if they want to continue working, that's completely fine. Then that just means that that's their choice, right? But my focus is just to make sure that on the long run, they have enough accumulated to where working is an option, not a necessity.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about like type of lifestyle decisions that are going to require a larger investment or an earlier start date so that you have more money. Like what type of, let's drop a dose of reality on the audience with like the type of things that people say that they want to do in retirement that cost maybe more than what people are really realizing that it's going to cost, or it's going to be harder to do or whatever.
Okay. Well, obviously the outlandish things like, oh man, I want my Lambo, or I want my yacht, things like that, right? So that's things where we're like, oh, I might want to reconsider that, right? That's not really realistic. But when it comes to things like, oh, I want to travel a lot more, then that's definitely something that we can work with. Or like, oh, I want to completely pay off my house. And that's also something that that we can work with, right? That's realistic, right? So it just depends on what they want to achieve and coming to, I guess, a compromise based on how realistic their goals are and what can actually be achieved with the resources that they have currently.
Okay, cool. So a real tailored approach to, you know, like an individualized, customized kind of approach to really kind of working out. So have you ever said, okay, let me run some numbers. How about I'll run you this number if you want to, you know, do like 3 international trips every year. And then I'll give you this number that's just 1 international trip every year. Do you ever do something like that to like give people an idea of like, you know, you want this lifestyle, but like, you know, this lifestyle might be a little more maybe realistic is a bad word because people might feel like, you know, anything is realistic. Yeah. Let's say easier to attain. Do you ever do anything like that? Being like, well, in this scenario versus this scenario?
Yeah, so I'm always weighing those options. I'm always running those numbers. and giving them those options, like, okay, what you say you want to achieve is this. This is what it's going to take. This is where you're at right now. This is what is more easily achievable for you. Now, if you want to go this other route, then we can work on that. But this is what it's looking like right now that's more attainable.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. That's nice. So people are able to, like, work with you to set their dream goal, but that also might mean they got to go out and, like, figure out how to make more money or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I feel like we've kind of established a baseline. People should understand what we're talking about. And if you don't know what we're talking about retiring, and retiring can mean a lot of different things from different people. Most people associate retirement with no more working, or working because you want to, not because you have to. And that means that you have to have money in the bank. I don't know what percentage of people, but, like, if you're going to get a Social Security check every year, that income, that'll be part of your income. But I'm pretty sure no one can actually live off of that. I mean, do you have any data on that? Like, are there people in certain parts of the country who can still survive off of their Social Security check with no other income?
That number is looking very, very bleak, to be quite honest. And honestly, when it comes to Social Security, I forget which newspaper wrote this, but by 2037, those Social Security benefits are going to completely deplete, right? So people like you, even like me, are not going to have anything. And that amount that's being taken out of our Social Security is just going to be paying for those who already have it, right? So this is why financial experts always recommend, this isn't a Social Security is not something to depend on. It's just supplementary to what your investment, whatever retirement plans you already have. It's not something to be relied on. It's simply a supplement.
Totally. So okay, cool. So what are the different ways that people can invest for retirement?
So the different ways people can invest in retirement, there's many different methods about doing that. But the most common is that we know is through their employer, whether that's a 401k or there's individual ones, what's known as an IRA, so individual retirement accounts. Those are the most common ways you can use in those scenarios. And then for employers, right, there's 401k plans. There's a bunch of different plans, simple IRAs, SIP IRAs. There's a bunch of different options. But for individuals, if we're talking individuals specifically, those are the kinds of options that we're looking for, because it's specifically for retirement, right? That's what it's designed to do.
I don't know about you, but having a diverse portfolio is recommended. Is that a correct statement? I'm not a financial advisor, so I can't technically give it financial advice. But considering you're a financial planner, is that something that is accurate, or do you need to correct me on that one?
No, you're absolutely correct. So when we're talking long term, having your money being diversified is a great way to kind of balance out, not eliminate risk, but balance out that risk and manage that risk. Because if you're talking putting all your eggs in one basket, then you run the risk of losing all your money in one shot, right? If that company goes bankrupt or whatever the case may be, right? As opposed to having invested in different companies, different areas, right? That way, even if, let's say, one company goes out of business, well, you still have all these different institutions, entities that are still up and running. So that's a great way of investing for your future, for your retirement, is having that money diversified.
And so, as we kind of come to the end of this conversation, I think it's important for me to call out, like, different groups of people in the industry. So you mentioned salon owners. Now, as a stylist, there's a lot of independent stylists, and they either rent a chair or they have their own little suite, and it's like a one chair salon. Some have like up to four chair salon, but I'm specifically talking about the majority have it's just them in their space. And And then they want to know, how do they plan for retirement, because they won't be working for somebody. They are their own boss. What type of opportunities are there for them that you could work with them, like someone in your position could work with them? Like, can they set up a 401k for themselves? Like, is that a thing, or do they have to have employees? Do you know the nuances there?
Yeah. So, that plan, 401k plans, are an employer plan. Now, if we're talking for individuals, then we're looking more into the IRA. So that's what it's there for, individual retirement accounts. And there's two general types. There's the traditional IRA, then there's the Roth IRA. And the difference between the two is that the Roth IRA is an account where your money grows tax-free, right? As opposed to the traditional IRA. And this is the same with a 401k, where it's taxed, what's known as tax-deferred. So Roth IRA is one of the few ways you can have your money grow tax-free. There's certain income limits. So if you're earning past a certain amount of income, then you typically can't have this account, but you can't contribute to this account if you already had it before you hit the income limit. So there's a lot of details about it, but in general, that's one of the ways that you can do it. Or if you don't qualify, then you can still have the traditional IRA.
Interesting. So real quick to clarify, mentioned tax-free growth and tax-deferred, I think is the word you used.
Yeah.
Could you just explain to somebody who might not know what that terminology means in maybe like layman's terms?
Okay. So tax-free and tax-deferred, meaning that while that money's in there and growing, there's no taxes being taken out. But it's only when you take those funds out at retirement, that's when you would pay those taxes. That's what tax deferred means, is that while it's growing, there's no taxes being taken out. Only at the end, when you take out that money's when you're being taxed. And then tax-free, obviously, meaning that at retirement age, you take that out and you don't have any tax consequences.
So there's also, from what I understand, and I need you to clarify something. If I have, say, a traditional IRA, then that money is, my contributions are a write-off at the end of the year. Is that correct?
Yes, it's tax deductible on your taxes. So that's the advantage of having that traditional. Some people like that. They want to write off as much things as possible. So that's a great way to do it, is having that account.
However, a Roth IRA, I pay the taxes, and then my money that I have left over, my net, I invest that, and that's why I don't pay the taxes at the end. So it's either I get the write-off and I pay it later, or I don't take the write-off and I don't pay it later, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. So now, question, can I have both a traditional and a Roth IRA?
Yeah, you absolutely can. The only thing to take into account is the contribution limit. So yeah, as of 2024, that contribution limit is $7,000. So if you have both accounts, you can't contribute more than $7,000 combined. So if you have both accounts, man, that's the limit. Yeah.
Man, I'm trying to double dip over here.
Yeah, you can't double dip. $7,000 in total.
Okay, cool. Awesome. And then you mentioned 401k. Or what was the other one? If you're a salon owner or a shop owner?
Yeah, so there's what's known as the simple IRAs and the SEP IRAs. So pretty much typically they have lower administrative expenses for the employer itself, and as well as they're typically for smaller businesses, less than 25 employees, that sort of thing. So that's what those are there for. Yeah, so that's what that's there for.
Okay, cool. And is this something that if someone's listening to this right now and they're like, I don't have a 401k for my employees, I'd like to learn more, I'd like to see how much it's going to cost. You know, salon owners and shop owners have very thin profit margins, so setting something up like this for this business will probably come down to dollars and cents. So like, if someone, is that something that you do, you help people set up in their business?
Oh yeah, most definitely. So as part of my firm, there are professionals that come down and actually help that person set up that 401k or whatever the case may be. So that's the advantage of the firm that I work for, is that there are professionals on deck that can help and do that. So I'm focused more on the individual, but we do help businesses and companies set up those employer retirement plans.
Awesome. So all the stylists and independent stylists out there and barber and independent barbers and barber employees, if you are an employee and you do not have retirement, you can ask your boss to give Marcus a call and get the referral to set it up. If your boss is not interested, then you can then Marcus, you can set them up with help them kind of get started. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much.
Awesome. Well, I feel like this was a nice overview. This is a good like kind of start and a nice little preview for the Beauty Business Brunch, where we'll be able to have a little bit more in depth, and the audience will get a chance to ask questions. But until May 19th, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show today.
Yeah, appreciate you for having me once again. I'm looking forward to this May 19th event, so definitely don't miss out. It's definitely going to be very informational and educational.
Awesome. And then is there any thing you would like to, like any last words of advice or thought that you wanted to share with the audience before we close out?
So as far as retirement, it's not as much of a daunting task as it may seem to be, right? It's just about taking action, taking upon yourself to actually start, right? And what you'll find is that it's not as daunting as it may seem.
Nice. Awesome. Well, thank you again, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Bye, Robert. Take it easy.